We've been to lots of high school graduations, college graduations, seen them perhaps, seen them on YouTube, been present, like when our own children maybe graduated from an institution. Now, I graduated from kindergarten. I don't remember any speeches at my kindergarten graduation service. I really don't remember any of that. But I do remember a few since. And you know, recently, especially since 2006, there's been a trend. And if you would just sort of aggregate all the large universities, all the different commencement speeches, they've all been resonating around the same idea. And it's follow your what? Passion.
Heart.
Yes, heart. Follow your heart, follow your passion. These speakers, great messages, awesome advice. Follow your passion. And the implication of this is, though, for people today, is that if you aren't enjoying something, you shouldn't do it. And the only criteria that when you would evaluate your own activity, your own career choices, your own learning choices, the way that you make decisions about your life and making those important life choices, is that we need to follow our passion. And the trouble is that what if we're not passionate about the right things? Well, what if we're busy about things that don't matter? What if we're passionate about things, perchance could be, that actually maybe hurt other people? What if we're excited about doing things that just doesn't have any lasting value or sustainability or any other criteria we might use? And so following our passion isn't part of finding what we should do next. But it's far more important to think more deeply about following our curiosity. And people of faith, following, not asking God to do what we want to do, but asking that our passion might align to God's passion. And the things that break God's heart might be something that actually, oh man, you're right, God. I get that. I finally get that. So God is not up there trying to find out what we want to do all the time. Our opportunity is that we can kind of clue in and kind of resonate around God's spirit that all of us have access to. You know, God doesn't listen to me any more than he does you. And I hope that surprises no one, but I bet it surprises someone. I know growing up, lots of different family members, after I became a pastor, at every Thanksgiving meal, who gave the prayer? At every birthday party when they needed to have a prayer, who did the prayer? Any family funerals, family weddings, who did the prayer? Of course, and I was like, what else would you do? Would I ever say no? Oh, no, I don't think I'm doing it this year. And I wanted to say that because what we do with our life is actually our life ought to help other people. It might have been a gift if I said, you know what, this year I'm going to let John do the prayer. Or this year, no, you guys take care of that. Because the implication is that only somebody who gets paid to do something, actually God listens to them. But that's not true. I follow Jesus and struggle just like you do. And I try to listen to God imperfectly, like maybe some of you do, listening to God imperfectly. And so following our passion is one thing, but have we ever stopped for a moment and just asked, is what we are doing, is it good for someone else? So, Jesus, or in our readings today, our Old Testament passage, it was really quite awesome, and I urge you to go back. It's about when a new heavens and a new earth come. You know what's great about, they call apocalyptic literature, literature about the end times. What's really great about it, the first thing is that it's there. That our God, our Creator, has such a view of life that it doesn't end at the grave. That our view of life is so huge, it extends our own life out. And if God wasn't the God of the future as much as he is the past and the present, then there wouldn't be any literature out there that speaks to God's sovereignty and God's grace in the future. In the future, it says that infant mortality will be gone. That old age will be a thing so common that if somebody doesn't live to be 100, they'll be, as it were, almost cursed. Oh my gosh, so bad you only lived to 99. That's a shame. Because the expectation in God's new heaven and new earth is that all the constraints that lock us in and diminish our experience of life. They'll all be gone. So our Old Testament lesson today is that there's a future and we're in it. And it's going to be great. And then Jesus, as he spends time with his disciples, the disciples start to think a lot about the end times too. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And Jesus says, you know, all those details, nobody knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. So we should really stop trying to write a diary of the future until we get there. But one thing is certain, that there are going to be false prophets and false activity. There's going to be things that try to lead you astray. Don't pay attention to them. Don't think that every single awful event that happens means that God's coming the very next day. But Jesus, you said that you're going to come again. And what did he say? I'm going to come soon. I'm going to be there soon. Again, not our time, but God's time. So when the Apostle Paul, a hater of Jesus, someone who persecuted God's people, finally met Jesus, the real Jesus, his life was transformed. And the old things were no more, and the new things were emerging every day. And the Apostle Paul, can we just call him Paul? He was just like you and me. He was trying to follow Jesus the very best he could. And so he went and he said, who doesn't know about Jesus? Well, he's just going to follow all the trade routes of the day. And he's going to tell people about Jesus everywhere he goes. And that's how our faith, our experience with Jesus, Christianity, disciples of Jesus, how it got to be such a all around the world phenomenon is because they took Jesus to the marketplace. They took Jesus to the public place. And it wasn't just through fancy commencement speeches or church services. It was people that followed Jesus somehow had this quality in their life that was totally different. It was as if their life was fueled by a different energy source. And it was. So Paul now is writing the church that he, the home churches, the house churches, in Thessalonica. Melissa and I were there in Thessalonica, what's left of it. And it's a super, super old thing. The Apostle Paul went there, told people about Jesus. They embraced Jesus. He started a church. So now he's writing them within probably 8 or 9 years after visiting there the first time. And he says a very curious thing. It's as if it's his commencement speech. It's his reminder speech of what to do to have a great life as a disciple of Jesus. And he says, stop being idle. Now, at a high school graduation, that probably wouldn't go over real big, right? Probably not. But we should think about that word, idle. You know, idle doesn't mean not doing anything. Being idle is not being inactive. Just as much as your car when it's in idle isn't not doing anything. Is that a double negative? Oh my gosh, what did I say? When the car is in not in gear, but the engine is on, it's something still going on. It's just not accomplishing anything. And so when you pull in to get gas, what do they say? Turn your car off. Why? Because when it's in idle, it's still doing something. First of all, it's polluting the environment for the people that pump your gas. And secondly, you're wasting fuel because you're not going anywhere. Are you going to go like from one pump to the other pump while you're still getting gas, the hose? No, when you're in idle, you're not accomplishing anything. And so the test isn't how busy we are, but it's what is being accomplished by what we do. The test every day isn't only, wow, boy, that was really a tiring day. But it's really to reflect and look back and say, I wonder in what ways what I did helped another person. I wonder what I learned today. I wonder what I learned about God's passion and God's love for others. I wonder what I learned about what God cares about today. And it doesn't have to take a long time, and it's not overly complicated. But Paul wanted his followers in Thessalonica to remember not to be idle. That is, don't do things that doesn't matter. Do things that matter. Do, he says at the very end of our passage, do not be weary in doing what is right. And so the test for the followers of Jesus isn't how many sermons were done, how many commencement speeches were delivered. It wasn't how much good advice was dispensed. The question is what you did, was it good? Did it have a quality that blessed other people? Did it do something that helped others? And that's a test that all of us could do at the end of every day and the start of every day. What could I do today? Not to stay busy. I'm not interested in how your time was filled, but simply the criteria is, in what way did you do good? And did what you did accomplish good? And so Paul even writes here, and it's kind of curious because he says, stay away from believers who are living in idleness. Again, that's not just being, you know, sitting down and not doing anything all day, but it's in what you're doing doesn't accomplish anything good, really good. He says, stay away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they receive from us. Now, when we talk about tradition here, we're talking like 1714. And when you're over in Europe, you know, tradition goes way back even further than that. When Paul uses the word tradition, we might think that Paul is using that word tradition like we do, meaning like hundreds of years ago. Like maybe he's talking about Moses. Maybe he's talking about the Old Testament stories about how God worked through people and transformed lives in amazing ways. But for Paul, this word tradition actually is tradition based on his past visit, just a few years before. He says, stay away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us, you remember, just a few years ago. Because like when Jesus promised that he'd be back again, and Paul preached that, right? Jesus, he died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and is coming again. We read about the end times and how God's future is well in hand. And so some believers heard that and said, well, Jesus is coming back again, and if he's going to set all things right, what do I have to do? What I do doesn't matter. I should just like take a vacation. But faith is cool this way. You don't take a vacation from your faith. Again, it's not a matter of how much faith we have or how faithful we feel. It's just the things that we experience with God, how is it impacting others' lives? It could be in the smallest of ways. Showing a child kindness is a way to do something that's good. Being thoughtful to a neighbor is another way. On our website, there's something under the blog section about Giving Tuesday. And this is the day, it's not Black Friday or Cyber Monday, but it's the very next day. And for many, many years, nations all over the world have adopted this special day called Giving Tuesday. And it's a day when we remind people all across the world to do something for others through organizations that are serving the community. It could be by volunteering, it could be by giving an extra financial gift, it could be all sorts of different ways. And on our website, you'll see there's 10 ways, non-financial ways, it won't cost you a dollar, to participate in giving to others, doing good. But apparently Paul's message, as he left Thessalonica and went again all over the known trade routes of his day, that he had to write the church back and say, remember the tradition. It was just a couple years ago. Don't be idle. Don't do stuff for selfish reasons. Don't do things that you only benefit in. Don't do things because I'm following my passion. Well, that's great, but how does it help other people? Because eventually, if we tune in to what God cares about and listen to the needs of others and ourselves receive gifts from others, blessed by others, soon we'll become passionate about the right things. So that when we give advice like follow your passion, it implies and in fact it necessitates that our passion aligns with doing good. Because if your passion is doing good, then I tell you, follow your passion. God wants from his church today not just a lot of great messages, not just a lot of great literature. I think people are hungry today to see our faith in action. And for us to experience, I know it seems small and like we should reach for more, and maybe we should, but there's so much anger and hurt so much criticism and contempt, so much inhumane treatment and injustice, that even the smallest act of kindness can transform an experience in ways that we couldn't possibly imagine. And so the opportunity is for us today to hear Jesus' words when he says, things are going to happen in life and they're not going to be great. Lots of things are going to go crazy. And there's going to be lots of false prophets around trying to lead you down the dark and narrow. But just remember, you follow where I go. You care about the things that I care about. And I will help you make such an incredible difference that people, when they look at us at Cold Spring Church, at the people that are gathered here and sent out from here every week, that people will not think about Cold Spring. They'll say, oh my gosh, isn't God great? And our experience together is to get energized, not to be idle, but to be energized. Paul wrote a similar message to the church in Philippi, another city that he had visited, and Philippians 2:13. And he says, God is the one working in you to desire and to work for the advantage of all doing good. And that word for working in you is the same word that we get for the word energy. God's energy is at work within us so that we can do good, and that our test at the end of the day is that we might do so with energy and intelligence and imagination and love. Remember that what you do matters, and what God wants to accomplish in us matters, and together we make a difference, not being idle, but getting energized to do good. Let us pray.